Well, come on. If you think about it, women have half of the money and all of the pussy, right?
I have no comments on that.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
I'd say welcome to another Saturday night, but nobody is ever really welcome here, so just, it's Saturday night. I'm Josh Hadley, and because it's Saturday night, Kat Thompson has nothing better to do.
True. Actually, it's kind of sad. I'm going to go cry a little in the corner now.
Don't cry, because Charlie's also here.
Oh, really? Oh, well, that makes it all better.
This is a good time for me. I mean, a lot of people listening, not everyone realizes this is all done on Skype, so I can and have do this while I was masturbating.
The thing is, you do this while masturbating from products you've gotten from AdamandEve.com that you've used the promo code WHAT on, and you got your 10 free DVDs, or 10 free gifts. You've gotten 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, which is you, a gift for her, which is also you, and free U.S. shipping. It was an amazing deal to have you masturbate on Skype, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's good for the economy. It's good for the prostate. I do a lot of man kegels. Good for me. Like, I could open a dictionary without my hands if I wanted to.
On that note, Kat, what do you say we just go to Dumbest Thing?
Yes, please. Let's just do that.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Charlie, I know we just played the Dumbest Thing intro, but I need the Florida intro, too.
Oh, wow. Right out of the gate.
A double.
Florida, America's punchline.
A Florida man named Ryan T. Smith decided that he had issues with a friend of his. So he decided to take a baseball bat and smash his friend's car up. It was accidentally his neighbor's car. He didn't get his friend's car. Now I tell you,
this is what happens
when you find a stranger in the Alps.
And feed him scrambled eggs.
Here you go, Larry. You see what happens? You see what happens, Larry? See what happens? Great. This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps? This is what happens. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens, Larry? This is what happens when you feed a scrambled eggs. This is what happens, Larry?
I hate it when that happens to me.
I know. Strangers in the Alps, I mean, you'd think you'd know each other by then.
Like, that's what happens? Like, the Alps is a much rougher neighborhood than I've been given it credit for.
Damn straight. He caused $1,600 in damage to the wrong car. Is this the kind of thing that you thought only happened in movies like The Big Lebowski? Or does this surprise you at all that this is Florida?
Well, I mean, considering we've seen zombies out of Florida, this doesn't surprise me that it's Florida. Actually, I'm amazed we don't hear about this more often because I live in an area where they sell a lot of meth. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of drugs in a lot of places, and I'm surprised people don't go bash up stuff while angry or, you know, on drugs more often.
Well, Charlie, you're usually on drugs. Don't you at least make sure you get the right car?
Yeah, I've gone to the wrong car before. Had to do some quick thinking on my feet. So, yes, I always make sure it's the right car. But for Florida, this is not really that bad. I mean, I expect the rest of the story to be he goes and does the same thing to his car and then fucks him in front of his kids or something like that.
I just thought this was funny because it mirrored something so perfectly from Big Lebowski that even the newspaper article linked the Big Lebowski clip in the newspaper article.
Thank you, Florida, for being the unofficial fourth host of this show.
Not Florida, but a Fox affiliate in New York, local Fox 5, decided that standards and practices and censorship needed to do this. They had a story on a $179 million Picasso auction, and they blurred out the breasts in the Picasso paintings that they were showing. Has this gone too far? Because even Fox News, remember, this is a Fox affiliate, not Fox News as the propaganda channel. Even Fox News was making fun of how unnecessary of censorship this was. Do you need to blur out the breasts in Picasso's?
No, I don't think you do. I mean, it's Picasso. How did you even know those were breasts, really? Could have easily been an eyelid or an earlobe, soul patch. Yeah, like, it could have been anything.
Well, but to me, what I found the funniest part was, while they did that, they didn't blur out the vagina in the same painting, because
Well, again, for the same reason. How do you know that it's the vagina?
Fair enough. Kat, I have to ask you, as a woman, would you have been offended if they had shown the Picasso's full breasts on television? Would that somehow have offended your feminine sensibilities?
No. I'm not sure why that would. I don't understand this at all. And I actually had to study Picasso a little bit in high school. And, like, if you're going to be offended by something, there are other works of his art that you can get offended by. And this is not one of them. If you can get offended by art, like, seriously, who gets offended? People are just frustrating and stupid.
When Fox News is calling a Fox affiliate stupid, you really need to rethink your censorship policy.
Yeah, because not only are they talking down to someone, and rightfully so, but it's one of their own. Like, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really screwed up, man. Like, and plus, it's 2015, and unless Picasso himself is standing there spilling a bunch of white paint on the breast, nobody's going
to
care.
I just think, have we really gotten to the point where we can have male rape on TV, but we can't show a Picasso's nipple? Have we gotten to this point?
Well, it far be it for me to say, but it's that whole females must be censored at all times.
Well, speaking of that...
Not necessarily men, but females. You can't have all that going on because then you might tempt men, even if it's a Picasso. Therefore, the boobs look like strange lumps in the weird spots.
Picasso's nipples is the name of my new band.
But isn't that kind of talking down to men, that we can't control ourselves, that we see a Picasso nipple and we're just going to go out and start raping bitches and shit?
Yes, you should be offended by other people thinking that you're going to be offended by it.
Okay, now, I already know from talking to Kat before the show, she has not seen Mad Max Fury Road yet. Have you, Charlie?
No, I have not.
Apparently, and I didn't even know this was a thing, men's rights activists are calling for a boycott of the movie. I saw it last night because it is, quote, a feminist propaganda film masquerading as an action movie. I wish I were making this up. Apparently, now, I've seen the movie. The closest you could get to feminism in this movie is the fact that the five breeder wives constantly say, "We are not property." And the main villain goes, "They have stolen my property," referring to the babies that he raped into them. That's feminism now, apparently. I'm going to ask Kat first, since you're a woman. What the fuck is a men's right activist?
These are people who are, they basically are the people who think that feminism is Nazis. Like, they only think of feminists as super fem-Nazis, militant bitches who just want to destroy all men. That's the only way that they see feminism. And they think that everything having to do with feminism is discrimination against men. Therefore, they need to stand up for their own rights, rights which absolutely nobody who is anybody is actually trying to violate.
So, as I said, the only thing about women in this is that they're not property. So that is somehow feminism, that they want to be treated as, you know, an equal human being with the decision-making skills?
Yes. Well, see, the whole thing about men's rights activists is they think, oh, well, women have rights. It's in the Constitution. Therefore, anything that they try and lobby is them trying to have more rights than men. Therefore, they think that they're better than men and they're wrong. They also think that women are inherently weaker than men and inherently worse at things than men. And they say scientifically proven when it's not, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, come on. If you think about it, women have half of the money and all of the pussy, right?
Well, I have no comments on that.
Is it just me, or are men's rights activists kind of date rapists in training?
Well, I disagree with that. I feel that a lot of them are probably beyond training, novices at least. This whole thing kind of pisses me off, though, because I don't think men should be able to decide if something is sexist or against anything. For the same reason, I don't think white people should be able to decide if something's racist against black people or not. If you are on the wrong side, because who can say what's wrong and what's right? No, there's a clear wrong side of an issue to be on. And if you are on that side, you don't... I don't know. It's there's nothing fucking sexist about it, first of all. Second of all, who the fuck cares if something is sexist towards men? Like, I know that sounds wrong when I say it like that, but who the fuck cares if something is sexist against men? Really. They've been doing all of the sexism for so long, they can take a couple of shots, even if it were sexist, which, once again, it was not. But while we've been talking about this, I've been thinking, if this were not a gender politics issue, it was a race issue, his side would be the Klan. That's what makes me think he's wrong.
I had not encountered men's rights activism prior to this. I guess...
It scares me to think that you stay on the safer side of the internet, because I get this all the time. Like, I see this shit all the time.
This isn't new?
There are people on my... No, not at all. It's been like the last year or so, pretty much since the whole Gamergate thing happened, which we don't need to talk about, been kind of a thing, because these are people who feel like their rights are being violated, and it's sort of like, and this is probably leaning into some dangerous territory here, but it's sort of like how the Christians think that they are being discriminated against because other people have rights besides them.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
I can see that too, because that's a very valid and cogent argument.
I think a nicer version of what I was saying earlier is just that if you are a man and you've grown up in America as a male, then you haven't been passed over on shit because of your gender, and you haven't been treated like less of a citizen because of your gender. So your opinion on sexism means nothing. Whether or not you think it's against your gender or not, your opinion is ill-informed.
To be fair, there are crazy fucking people out there who really do want to kill all men, but those are such a small minority, and this is what bothers me about MRAs, is that they basically treat all women as if they are insane feminazis.
The Birkenstock body hair division of feminists, the womenist from PCU, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, people who just think that the world would be better off without men entirely.
Why the last man?
Which is ridiculous. I mean, of course it wouldn't. The world would be better with harmonious cooperation between the two genders. It wouldn't be perfect with one or the other.
But then, now, am I wrong in assuming that this men's right activism nonsense are the same people that talk about how our culture is becoming feminized and whatnot? Because one of the complaints about the Mad Max thing is Charlize Theron is clearly in charge of this, and she, quote, barks orders at Max throughout the whole movie, and he jumps right to and listens. Okay, that does happen. Why? Because she's the one with all the technical knowledge of the things he's helping with.
Yeah, saying it's wrong because she's a woman is saying it would be right if it were a man, which is just fucking horseshit.
Women should get back into the kitchen, take off their fucking shoes, and get knocked up. I had not encountered this before, so Kat, apparently you had. I'm sorry, just... on behalf of my gender.
I'm friends with a lot of game reviewers, so when Gamergate came around and all this shit started up, and of course as soon as the Mad Max stuff started up, all I heard, people whining about it, but then also people going, what the fuck are you whining about?
Let's end this segment talking about the internet itself. We're running out of IP addresses. There are only so many numeric codes that you can put in so many orders, and the way the internet as we have it now is set up, you can't add more dot and then more numbers for the system that we have now to work. So they are running out of IP addresses. Is this something we should really be worrying about, or is this just Y2K for the internet?
No, I'm pretty sure kids in India have it worse. So I'm not really worried about running out of IP addresses. I'm not going to lose any sleep over what's going to happen once the last IP address is taken. Maybe it'll have an effect, maybe not. I can't listen to a story like this and not be skeptical of it, that there's some fucking tech company trying to scare up business with this thing.
This kind of feels like Y2K all over again. In fact, I think other countries have already run out of IP addresses. Isn't that true?
That is true, and then they bought extra ones from us.
Oh, I see.
So they did run out, and then they bought more from us, so that's why, like, certain Indian companies, and I mean, you know, India, they have American IP addresses because they pay us for those because they ran out of their own. But that still means there's only a finite number for the world, doesn't it?
Sure, but somebody will think of something. It's definitely something you don't think about, you know, you're like, oh, well, we kind of think of the internet as this infinite space, but it the fact that it has finite elements to it, I think, is kind of crazy. Like, who knew? Well, I guess smart people who know stuff about the internet do, but I just reside here.
I choose to look at this as this will be the jumping off point where we finally get into all that cyberpunk shit that William Gibson's been promising us for 30 years.
About fucking time.
Welcome to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher, and just like last week, I'm going to start this week's Heart Attack with some good news. It turns out that Edward Snowden's most famous leak, that's right, guys, Edward Snowden, the guy that our government has branded a traitor and a criminal, when actually the guy's a fucking hero. Because guess what? A panel of judges has ruled that the program that Snowden exposed was never legal. Edward Snowden's revelations have revealed an illegal spying operation on us, the people. The Patriot Act does not authorize what he has revealed, contrary to the claims of George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Michael Hayden, Keith Alexander, and James Clapper. They're all a bunch of lying cocksuckers. That's right, guys, including our president, our ex-president. They're lying cocksuckers who can't wait to invade your privacy. And speaking of privacy, let's go right into the next thing here about Facebook. How Facebook is making a profit by outing domestic violent victims of domestic violence are being outed by Facebook as part of their real name policy. Well, Facebook will say, oh, we're doing that to protect you. Well, actually, the truth of the matter, according to the Wall Street Journal, is that Facebook earns billions in annual advertising revenue based primarily on, I quote, its ability to gather detailed, accurate information about users. That's right, guys. Facebook's profits are based on how well it can gather information about you, making sure that you are a real person and therefore selling all of your information to everybody else. And they have not provided any proof that this policy, Facebook says that, oh, we need a real name on this account for your safety. Well, they haven't provided any example where this policy has helped them or helped somebody. They haven't provided any data or any kind of backup to this to say, well, we caught this guy doing bad things. We caught this person doing bad things. There's no mention of that by Facebook. Now, we know law enforcement is having a field day because of the real name policy. We know that law enforcement loves Facebook because, you know, frankly, I am surprised by the stupid shit people will post on Facebook. I really am. When I had my visit to Chicago, I was talking to my friends. They're like, oh, yeah, these dumb gangbanging idiots will shoot somebody and post the video of them shooting it and them claiming responsibility for it on their Facebook page so they can show that they're a badass. When actually, all they are is another volunteer for a privatized prison to make the man more money. But this thing with Facebook revealing people's real names, I don't really understand it. Why do you have to do that publicly? Because in my mind, if you have the real name for your information at Facebook, why does it have to be posted? Like, why can't it just be your pseudonym is your pseudonym on Facebook? But if there's a crime or a problem, well, Facebook knows the real name behind that account.
What prompted this was online bullying. After a couple of teens were bullied on Facebook, and you know, I don't really go into the whole online bullying thing, but you know, to a teenager, I can see it having a different weight than you and I do. But it was all prompted due to that people were hiding behind pseudonyms and then causing other people to bully them until they committed suicide. So the whole thing was, no, if you're not going to be real, you're not going to be on Facebook. If that were all it was, I'd kind of go, all right, whatever, because I use my real name anyway, as do you. I know a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine who are in the entertainment industry. They don't want their real names out there, and they have legitimate reasons to not want their real names out there. Right now, my friend, Mr. Lobo, is leaving Facebook because they're forcing him to use his real name, and he's like, no, I'm Mr. Lobo. That's my persona, my real life. I don't want that on Facebook.
Especially because now we have this public shaming. It seems to me that social media and Twitter are being used as these social shaming sites that are, oh, you said the fag word, and then you're shamed. And, you know, right now there's all this stuff about, oh, Bill O'Reilly might have beat up his ex-wife. His kid says, shoulda, woulda, coulda, from what, 5, 6 years ago? Don't know anything about it, but all of a sudden, we gotta shame him. And it's this weird public shaming that's involved, and I think that's part of why they want your real name on the profile. Because in my mind, if Facebook knows your identity and if Facebook has your real name in its files, there's no real reason to force your persona online to have that name displayed. And if there's a problem or a crime or you're reported for abusive comments, they've got your real name. It's not factor. So there's something else more going on there. And I would say it has to do with law enforcement. And folks, law enforcement has no problem faking Facebook. We have reported on here numerous times of the FBI using people's photos against their will in drug stings and having fake personas on Facebook. So it seems like it's all right for corporate media to have fake personas, because I've seen there's been some fake people. They just are like sales personas. And I don't know. They don't seem like they're real people, but somehow they're on there selling.
I've run into a lot of where people will friend me, and you know, my page is public, and I don't know if they're a listener or not. They'll friend me, and then all of a sudden, it's just my timeline from them is full of, this is a great deal on these sunglasses or this t-shirt, and it's like, oh, fuck you!
Yeah, that's the newest thing that's been happening to me, and I'm trying not to get nasty about it, but it's pretty fucked up. Honestly, I don't do that to anybody. I don't post. And, you know, when I'm posting about American Horrors is free. No one has to pay any money for it. It's free. That's part of why I post. When I post about Heart Attack, it's free. And generally, when I'm trying to sell something, like you guys can get a copy of An American Horror Story, which is the collected writings of mine from Incult Blog about true crime. That stuff you can get. Man, we're running out of time now, aren't we, Josh? We're getting near the end, aren't we?
We are. We've got 2 minutes left.
Damn it, I want to talk about this new thing with the large banks plead guilty to market manipulation. Guys, I want you to all to go on and read thehill.com. This is an article up here called Big Banks to Pay $6 Billion for Market Manipulation. Six of the biggest names in finance have agreed to pay almost $6 billion in penalties for rigging financial markets. That's right, guys. They're doing currency rigging. They are... They're breaking a shitload of laws so bad. I mean, U.S. authorities say that these traders from competing banks, Barclays, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, the Royal Bank of Scotland, all right, have all agreed to plead guilty to charges of conspiring to fix prices. UBS agreed to plead guilty to charges stemming from a previous investigation after the bank's role in this new probe led the Justice Department to toss out a prior agreement not to seek criminal charges, because UBS already been busted for money laundering for drug dealers and money laundering for terrorists. But gee, nobody there has gone to jail, but lots of Americans have gone to jail for, I don't know, making, quote, terrorist statements on Facebook. Ridiculous. In April, the Deutsche Bank agreed to pay a record $2.5 billion in fines and fire several employees. Ooh, they're going to fire some people, Josh, for its role in rigging rates. And in November,
and when they get fired, they'll have a golden parachute and they'll only get like, you know, a $18 million severance package.
And what about the victims of all the rigging? Are the victims going to get their money back? Are the victims of this crime going to get
anything? Of course they're not.
Anything?
Don't ask stupid questions. Of course they're not.
What we're seeing here is the banks seem to feel that this is just business as usual. On Tuesday, UBS announced it will pay $545 million to settle claims it was manipulating the foreign exchange market. Because of them being caught with this, the bank has noted that the Justice Department is terminating an agreement they made with them in 2012, a non-prosecution agreement it struck with the bank, over an interest rate rigging where the bank paid $1.5 billion. So in 2012... UBS paid off the government $1.5 billion. No one went to prison over interest rate rigging that affects governments, it affects cities, it affects payrolls, it affects every regular person out there. But did it stop them from more crime? No, apparently UBS has continued its criminal ways. They keep on going, and they just seem to think, oh, well, we'll just pay another $545 million. It's business as usual. Guys, this is part of why I do Heart Attack. Is anybody hearing about this on CNN? Is this all over Fox News? I doubt it. This is why we do Heart Attack. If you've got a story you want me to cover, hit me up on facebook.com/heartattackradio or on Twitter at Heart Attack Radio or at @Hart_Fisher, and that's H-A-R-T.
We'll be right back.
About death and funerals here, and not in the fun way that we did with the dildos and stuff like that. Now, the cop legally and technically did nothing wrong, but a CHP officer pulled over a funeral procession on a California highway for going too slow and ticketed all of the cars. Now, this is within his discretion as a CHP officer, even though a sheriff's deputy was leading this procession to make sure it was all safe. And even the sheriff was asking what you're doing, and he's like, it's my discretion. You're holding up traffic. By the way, this entire thing held up traffic to a dead stop for more than 2 hours. Is there something inherently wrong with you when you clearly see a funeral procession as a cop and you go, going too slow? I can get some tickets out of this.
It's a gigantic dick move. I mean, if there's any benefit of the doubt to be given, I'll just say that I don't know much about California highway laws, so I don't know if they were going too slow even for a funeral procession. Like, I don't know what was factored into his decision. I'm guessing the guy whose funeral it was factored heavily into the decision, because cops very often, and from based on what I've heard, especially in California, they're kind of petty assholes. That played into it a little bit. Anyone who tells you it didn't is probably lying, but I think it's just a massive dick move on his part.
I mean, unless they were posing a danger, you know, like say they were going so slow that it was going to cause an accident, which I doubt, even then it still would have been a tremendous dick move. It's one of those things where nobody likes to be stuck behind or near, around, in the vague vicinity of, on the same highway as a funeral procession, because it does slow down traffic. But even when you're passing by it or you're stuck behind it or whatever, you understand that it's a fucking funeral procession and that these things go slow and there's a reason for that.
Show some fucking respect.
Exactly. Like, yeah, people are going to be missed, but like, they understand why it's slow. They understand that it's a fucking funeral procession. It's just the way things are. Like, fucking hell. Jesus, what a fucking dick thing to do, to pull aside a fucking funeral procession, severely hold up traffic, for real hold up traffic, to write a ticket to somebody whose family member has just died and they are burying them, or they wouldn't be if they were not stuck on the side of the road with Dick Cop. Trademark that. Dick Cop. Anyway.
Dick Cop.
That could be a spinoff of Axe Cop.
As he pulled them over, he started running all of their tags. And he cited one of the motorcycles in the procession for illegal lighting, and then they impounded the vehicle because the driver's license was not current, and he started ticketing the other cars for every minor infraction he could find. This sounds like a CHP officer that said, you know what, I'm having a bad fucking day, and you're all gonna get some.
Whose funeral was it? Like, who was the person that died?
It was nobody famous. It was Rachel Ben Humphrey. We've never heard of her. It was just, you know, a black lady in California. She died, and her family clearly cared for her, and they had a funeral procession, and a cop decided to be a dick.
Okay, if anyone does any digging, you'll find some kind of interaction between the dick of a cop and the deceased.
We could then move to the other weird funeral one, and this one, it's going to sound funny at first, and I'm sure Charlie has a joke for it, but in Johannesburg, South Africa, schoolteacher Jade Pianotto, 28, he is accused of murdering his wife. So he has not been charged yet. He is accused. The police are investigating him. So he went to his wife's funeral, who he is accused of murdering, and gave her eulogy, which he plagiarized from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you not only do you give the eulogy at the wife's funeral, who you are accused of killing, you fucking plagiarized the eulogy you give to her. Is this a fucking asshole?
Okay, well, clearly a person who has killed their own wife does not love them enough to write them their own really intimate special eulogy. So I kind of don't blame them for just stealing someone else's eulogy, because I'm kind of just glad that he got one there at all, because the amount of non-love going on there is kind of terrible. At this point, it's good that she got a eulogy at all.
Even a plagiarized one?
Yeah. Like, at least he had that much consideration, considering what he did. Terrible, but I'm just trying to see the bright side.
Well, is he accused of killing her with an axe? Because cribbing material from the internet is some hack bullshit if I ever saw it.
He's accused of shooting her.
Okay. Well, then it doesn't work. That's about the best I can do. I mean, the only thing that would make it funny for me is if he had plagiarized the material from Gone Girl, either the movie or the book.
No, he plagiarized it from the eulogy that Jennifer Atkins wrote for her husband, Charles Atkins, and all he changed was the names and the gender-specific verbs.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
So it's like, wow, that, fuck you, dude. Just fuck you.
Yeah, that's not going to help him once the trial gets going. That's not going to help him in the eyes of the jury.
What would you think if the hospital lost part of your brain? In Louisville, Kentucky, Fred Habermal has sued Norton Healthcare, claiming that employees lost a piece of his brain. They were trying an experimental cancer treatment where they removed certain brain tissue, and then they were going to do certain things to it and then put it back, and then hopefully it would eat away at the cancer. Well, when he went back in for the second treatment, he was told that they couldn't find the piece of brain that they cut out of him because somebody mislabeled it and they don't know where it is.
Okay, well, how many other things look like a piece of brain that even if you mislabel it, the jars are clear, are they not?
I don't know specifically. I don't know how you would think this would be the kind of thing you would keep a really tight leash on, but I don't know.
Well, if you're asking me what I would think if this happened to me, probably about a third as much.
Isn't this the plot of Frankenstein or something?
Young Frankenstein, maybe.
Yeah, like this kind of feels like the start of a supervillain. Like, this guy is going to become the Brain Avenger, the Brain Venger, or something like that, where he's just going to go around avenging people who have had parts of their brain stolen.
Or his brain's going to mutate into Krang.
Yeah, oh my god. That would be terrible and kind of awesome, but mostly terrible.
I don't know. I think we should go with Prince making a musical called Purple Brain.
See, I knew you had some kind of a joke there. I just think it's kind of, you know how we say people sue too much? I think if they lose a piece of your brain, you should contact an attorney. I don't think that's unreasonable at that point.
I once sued Greyhound over a lost suitcase, and no part of my brain was in that suitcase. So yeah, I think a court case would be justifiable here.
How about we go to Jordan, the country, Jordan? A woman had to have an emergency cesarean section, and then after the cesarean section, she was sewed back up. You know, the baby was fine, and she had severe abdominal pain. Nobody could figure out what was going on. So she went to a different hospital and they found one of the doctors that did the cesarean section dropped their cell phone inside her when they sewed her back up. Now, this being Jordan, the hospital is just going, whatever, move on. You can't sue or whatnot. How do you get to be a doctor if you leave a cell phone in a patient? Is this where Dr. Nick comes from?
Oh, no, okay. I was on the call. This is going to cost a fortune.
How do you leave a cell phone in a woman that you just did a C-section on?
I do not know. Why would your cell phone be out when you're in the middle of operating to begin with?
Because it's Jordan?
They're like, oh, hold on, my wife is calling. No, I need to get a dozen eggs when I come home from work. Oh, okay. You know, something stupid like that, where they, like, had the phone out to use the internet to Wikipedia what the parts of the brain were. Like, what the fuck? Why is your phone out when you're operating on somebody?
Hey, honey, you called me while I'm inside another woman. Ha ha, we have fun.
You've never heard that one before. So first off, I don't even understand how this would have happened to begin with, because you shouldn't have things out that can drop inside people. Look, what are they using, the flashlight app to see in there? Because that's now my running theory, is that he needed the flashlight app.
I think if you're in a bidding war for a Dukes of Hazzard lunchbox, it goes to the person who wants it more. And that doctor clearly did.
All right, I can't follow that. So from that, we're going to move on to the mildly-ish or serious stuff. You guys know how on last Tuesday there was that major train derailment at Amtrak that killed 8 people and injured more than 200, right? The Republicans are so fucking cold about this. For one thing, 5 hours after the Amtrak crash, the Republican House and Senate voted to decrease Amtrak's budget. So first of all, pretty nasty right there. But then
they're clearly weighted down by all that money.
Conservative radio host Sandy Rios went after the engineer, Brandon Bostian, who is gay, saying that while she can't prove it, quote, I'm not inferring to those of you who are gay rights activists and who like to monitor this show, I'm not inferring that this accident happened because he was gay. But I do think it's an interesting part of the story, and I bet it will be edited out. Unquote. What the fuck does Bostian being gay have to do with the Amtrak crash?
Absolutely nothing. Not a single thing. And that's why nobody's going to talk about it, you fucking cunts over at Fox News, who are like, oh, well, nobody's going to talk about it because they're afraid to talk about this sort of thing because they're going to get hate mail and we're the only ones willing to talk about it. No, it's because it has absolutely no relevancy whatsoever.
If anything, a gay man would be better equipped at running a train. Boom! I'll let myself out, thank you. Ridiculous. And I don't take people like her any more seriously than I take Nancy Grace. So it doesn't bother me. It's just something I can ignore.
But what does this say about Republicans? Because she's a card-carrying Republican, and the Republicans defunding Amtrak only hours after this crash makes the news.
Now, I did hear something about how where they cut the budget from had nothing to do with safety at all.
No, but there's still kind of a – Amtrak just got into a major crash and is all over the news. Let's cut their budget.
See, that's just like, why would you do that? There doesn't seem to be a logic in doing it right away. Like, do it surreptitiously later on when the cameras aren't all pointing at you, but these are not smart people, so what do they care?
That's true. And
the case could be made that they didn't start planning the meeting to cut Amtrak's budget after the crash. It was probably just bad timing. I mean, maybe not, because Republicans are pretty fucked up about that sort of thing. Like, oh, Amtrak, that reminds me. Let's give them less money, like after hearing about the crash on the news.
Fox News did double down on something we've talked about more than once on this show. They had yet another in-depth discussion about poor and, you know, the handout nation. Because at a recent address, Obama specifically called out Fox News as one of the problems in this country, called them out by name. And so Fox News, of course, was going to retaliate to him for that. So they started trotting out all the food stamp president and all that stuff. They say that the president doesn't want them reporting the accurate coverage of poverty, that they're the only ones in the media with the balls to show, and that he doesn't like them because they are the only ones showing that he is not this great crusader for poverty. And then Steve Doocy doubled down, quoting, "If you don't want to be poor, get a job. That is the answer."
Well, I can't honestly say what Steve Doocy does is a job. I mean, when you think about it, he doesn't know what it's like to be poor because he really doesn't know what it's like to work for money. He gets paid to be on Fox News and spew this stupid bullshit. He does no research. He does not give a fuck. He does what we do, only he gets paid for it, essentially. But he's presenting everything as fact. I don't know. It's not surprising for the Republican Party, given particularly Fox News, but in general, just everything a Republican senator or congressman or any part of any sort of lawmaking body is asked to talk about the economy. So, well, I had a paper route when I was a kid, and they take that stupid fucking cornball route that just does not apply anymore and has not applied since they last had to worry about money because they're a career politician. And I would apply the same thing to Obama. I mean, I don't think he's a great crusader for the poverty because he's done as much as one can expect from an American that's never been poor. We don't have the greatest empathy when you compare us with other cultures.
If you don't want to be poor, get a job.
Sure, I'll just go get one off of my job tree that I have growing in my yard. I mean, and there's plenty to go around, obviously, because jobs just grow on trees, and you can always get them no matter what if you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Kat, the only reason that all these people don't have jobs is they're lazy takers.
Right. That's all they do. They all just, you know, get money from the government to sit around and do nothing. So what's their drive to get up and do work?
I just love the disconnect. And then the Fox News contributors went on this long diatribe, almost a 3-minute long diatribe, about how they are the only news network. They call themselves a news network. A news network that is willing to tell the truth about the economy and the truth about Obama, and that CNN, MSNBC, and all the others just toe the party line. And that's why Fox is the number one rated cable news channel, because they are the truth of America. What do you guys think about the fact that I think at this point they truly believe that?
Well, honestly, it doesn't matter what they believe. It's what they're capable of making Americans believe. That is the true terrifying power of Fox News, is that people fucking listen to them. They are obviously not a news station because they have flat out said, well, we think that the news or the truth is what you make it. And so they obviously don't even care about facts, and they certainly don't report on them. whether or not they believe it, I think was indicated. Wasn't there something a few months ago where a former Fox News affiliate killed himself in front of their building?
Because he couldn't take the I'm going to quote Howard Beale here. I just couldn't take the bullshit anymore. I had no more bullshit to give.
Right. So I don't even know that they necessarily believe it, but they want people to believe them. And that is all that matters.
If they're acting, they are acting very, very well. I think these people are true believers at this point.
I think people like that probably believed like a kernel of the shit that they spew, because all you need is just a kernel of truth and ego, insecurity, and just the quest for the most attention and to be the loudest will take care of the rest. All Steve Deuce needs to see is that there is still poverty in America in order to blame it on Obama. And that leads to he's not the crusader for poverty that everyone thinks he is. And that leads to if you don't want to be poor, get a job. I have a job, so I'm not poor. And it just devolves into shit like that. Like, I think they used to believe this shit. Guys like Steve Ducey have been doing it for so long that, and the money is too good that I don't think believing it is a deal breaker anymore.
I think the fact that the money is too good is also something we can't overlook. How is there this much money in disseminating lies? I mean, I get that there are people out there, you know, in the flyover country and all that believe this, but I can't believe that there are $10 million worth of people who are willing to buy Bill O'Reilly's book. I can't believe that. How is there so much money in this? Because you'll notice on the opposite side, the left-wing people, they don't have nearly as much money. So there seems to be more money in the right-wing lunacy than there is in left-wing lunacy. Or is that just kind of built in?
Well, I don't know if it's built in, but if you want to put it in perspective, just like think of Steve Ducey's salary as $1 from every one of those red state flyover assholes that want nothing more than to have their own stupid bullshit be validated on TV. And those are the people that will watch Fox News and will buy Bill O'Reilly's book. I mean, these people are only as powerful as the amount of morons out there that want someone who appears to be in a position of power or authority to agree with.
See, that guy in the TV don't like the nigger president either, so see, I was right
exactly.
All along.
Exactly. That's exactly why there will always be a Fox News, and Bill O'Reilly makes so much more money than any of the people that he shits on.
Yeah, well, I think there's too much money in politics to begin with, but it really does feel like the people who are the nut jobs who get to go on TV and spout absolute nonsense that's so insane the people they're preaching to don't even believe it, but it gets ratings, so therefore they make money, so they keep putting these fucking nut jobs on TV. Like, there's just way too much money going into it. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And yet we make nothing. On that happy note, let's transition to Kat. Where can people find you?
You can find me happier and talking about other things on, for the most part, on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can find me on my other show, Thespian Talk, talking about similar kinds of stuff. Amazingly, we didn't have a story in common this week. And that's over on ArchieGomer.com. And you can hear me talking about awesome nerdy things that don't usually make you quite so depressed over on ChannelAwesome.com and This Week in Geek and YouTube and iTunes. That's Nerd to the Third Power.
And Charlie, where are we going to find you becoming a men's rights activist?
You can find me doing what I love for free and doing who I hate for money on Twitter at Charlie McMullen, on Facebook, and at geekjuicemedia.com, which within the next couple of weeks, that 10-minute set that I had in Colorado Springs that I sent to you, that's going to be going up on Geek Juice. So if you want to see more recent live comedy from me, it'll be there pretty quick.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Now, guys, just try to be a cut above. Put a little bit of effort in there and just try not to be stupid. And if you're going to find a stranger in the Alps, make sure it's the right stranger.
Those eggs had better goddamn well be scrambled.
Made the difference when But that's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever. And don't forget the Joker.
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.